Radio.
Today's programming is supported by the Advocates of Minnesota Public Radio. Contributors include the Sharon and Bruce Henry Family Foundation, advocates for the environment and improving K-12 education.
6 minutes now past 11 o'clock. And good morning. Welcome to Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Gary Eichten. Glad you could join us. Minnesota may have a beer and a bump image in some quarters, but make no mistake about it, Minnesotans also like their wine. Last year, Minnesotans bought about 8 million gallons of wine. Now, that works out to about 1 3/4 gallons of wine for every man, woman, and child in the state of Minnesota. Assuming most toddlers aren't drinking their share, that would leave a lot of wine for the average Minnesota adult to drink, and a lot of business for whoever gets to sell all that wine to all those Minnesotans. Right now, liquor stores are the only place you can buy wine, but this morning, the Minnesota House Commerce Liquor Subcommittee approved a bill that would allow Twin City area supermarkets to start selling wine. Supporters of the measure say it's a simple matter of convenience for consumers, but opponents say the change would threaten the livelihood of mom-and-pop liquor stores and make it tougher to prevent minors from drinking. Today on Midday, we're going to take a closer look at that measure. Joining us from the state capitol is the House sponsor of the bill, Republican State Representative Barb Sikora from Excelsior. Also joining us is DFL State Representative Connie Bernardi of Fridley. She's one of the legislators who is opposed to the change. And as always, we invite you to join our conversation. If you have a question or comment about allowing Twin Cities area supermarkets to start selling wine with their groceries, give us a call here, 651-227-6000. That's our Twin City area number, 651-227-6000. If you're calling from outside the Twin Cities, you can reach us toll-free, and that number is 1-800-242-2828. 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Now, before we get started, Minnesota Public Radio's Laura McCollum joins us from the state capitol. Laura sat in on this morning's hearing, and good morning to you, Laura.
Good morning, Gary.
Lively discussion or pretty quiet?
Oh, very lively discussion and definitely a packed room. It was standing room only as representatives from both sides argued their case before this liquor subcommittee. This is one that sort of pits the liquor stores against the grocery stores in that the grocery stores would like to have a little bit of this market, and they say they're taking some precautions to make sure that this isn't just going to open the door to underage sales. But liquor stores are arguing that they already know how to try to control this, to try to keep wine and liquor from getting to minors. So it's certainly a hot issue. It's by no means an easy sell in the legislature. I think the bill's author would be the first to admit that this is kind of a tough fight. And it has yet to be scheduled for a hearing in the Senate, so we'll see what its political prospects are. But it has passed the first hurdle.
What was the vote?
5-2. And it was not party line. DFLer Matt Entenza switched and voted with the Republicans.
Mm-hmm. And you said there's no hearing scheduled in the Senate yet. Where
right.
does it go in the House now?
In the House, it goes to the Commerce Committee next Thursday, and maybe the bill's author could give a prediction on what might happen there. I'm not sure if it's going to pass and head to the floor. Probably it will get to the floor, but we'll see what happens then.
Okay, thanks, Laura. Well, let's get the sponsor of the bill on the air now, State Representative Barb Sikora. Good morning, Ms. Sikora. Appreciate
good
you
morning,
joining
Gary.
Us.
Thank you.
Are you pretty confident based on the testimony this morning, based on what you've been hearing, pretty confident that your bill has a reasonable chance of passing?
Gary, I would say it has a reasonable chance. It's certainly not going to be easy. I think we're going to have a very interesting hearing in Commerce, and I would guess that there will be some people who will attempt to amend it. I mean, there are some people who think it should be statewide. There are others with various other ideas as well. So it's going to be interesting. And as far as the Senate, our chief author in the Senate is the vice chair of Commerce, and she is sure she will get a hearing. But I think since it's moving in the House and it will be through its committees in the House by deadline, I believe the Senate then doesn't have to address it until the following week.
Mm-hmm. Well, in a nutshell, why is there a need to change the law? Things seem to be working fairly well as we currently have the law constituted. Why make this change?
Well, yeah, as you know, Gary, I think over time, change is driven by what people want and what people see as being practical and necessary in their lives. And what we're hearing from people is that grocery stores have become kind of the place of convenience. It's the place they pick up their drugs at the pharmacy. It's the place that they often do banking. It's become a place they buy their flowers. So grocery stores are a lot more now than just food, although they certainly are food and then some. But in addition to that, most people feel that wine goes with dinner and that it would be extremely convenient to be able to shop for wine when they are picking up their food for the week or for the evening dinner. And that's kind of where this came from. And people all over are just very positive about it. And every place I go, people are saying, well, geez, it's about time. So that's the kind of reaction I'm getting generally on this bill. And, of course, there's some concerns, but we're trying very hard to meet the concerns that people have.
Representative Connie Bernardi, what's the problem here? Why not allow people to pick up a bottle of wine when they pick up their groceries?
Well, thank you for asking that question. One of the first comments that was made today was pitting the current retailers against the grocers, and I really, it's much bigger picture than that. And the people that it's really pitting up against is the health of our community and the health of our young people. So often these people don't get heard at the legislature because they don't have paid lobbyists to run grassroots campaigns in grocery stores to expand this. And they don't have someone to come here and testify for the good and the health of communities. And so I think that's important for people to know, because the bottom line in the research shows us that when you expand the sale of alcohol, underage drinking goes up. Too often we suffer the tragic consequences of a young person's death because of alcohol. And every time this happens, we need to remember that this is preventable. And policy that controls the sale of alcohol, the way we're currently doing it, is much safer and much healthier for our young people than the expansion of alcohol sales into grocery stores. And in fact, the numbers show that 3-2 sales of beer right now, that grocery stores sell much more often than non-grocery stores, so like the controlled retailers on sale and off sale.
Mm-hmm. So you would, you can buy 3-2 beer at a supermarket right now. Would you suggest then that maybe that should be banned?
I for sure don't want the expansion of alcohol sales in Minnesota. I'm a parent, and in fact, my husband and I were talking about what kind of wine we're going to have with dinner tonight we're entertaining guests, and when we left work today. And, you know, I'm willing as a parent to put up with a little inconvenience and a little extra planning to prevent my child from getting access to alcohol in a grocery store that's open 24 hours a day. They wouldn't be able to sell that often, but it's still open that many hours a day. Teenagers working at the counters, they're selling lots of products other than just alcohol, like alcohol retailers are selling right now in off sale and on sale. So I am, as a parent, I'm willing to put up with that inconvenience, because at first blush I would be like, oh yes, I'd like to be able to pick it up at the grocery store, but I'm willing to sacrifice that convenience for the health and safety of my children and everyone else's children in the state.
Representative Sikora, do you think that by allowing supermarkets to sell wine, would that in fact increase the incidence of minors getting their hands on liquor, alcohol?
You know, Gary, there is that possibility, but I think in my bill we've really addressed that issue because we knew that was a concern. And the grocers have been very willing to have themselves monitored much more closely than liquor stores currently are. And here are some of the things that the grocers are willing to do. Now, the liquor stores also have to train their employees, and they have restricted hours of sales. The grocery stores would only sell wine at the same hours that the liquor stores could. And in their scanners, they would not be able to sell wine after those, during the hours that they would normally not sell them in a liquor store. There would, of course, be penalties for underage sales. Now, what the grocers are willing to do that the liquor stores have never been willing to do, we have mandatory compliance checks. There are now, you know, mandatory compliance checks for sales of tobacco. This would add to the grocery stores that there would be compliance checks on alcohol. They would also card every customer. And there would be a theft prevention plan. And the theft prevention plan would have to be approved by their local community, their local city of police, whoever was in charge, would have to approve the plan so that it was something that they felt would work. Also in grocery stores, there are cameras all over the place because, you know, for them, they have about a 1% margin on sales. Any theft reduces that margin, and they can't really afford to do that. So if they're going to be very careful to monitor it so that there is not theft, because a $10 bottle of wine makes quite a difference in their profit margin.
We're talking this hour about a proposal that won subcommittee approval today at the Minnesota House, one which would allow supermarkets in the Twin City metro area to sell wine. Right now, only liquor stores can sell wine, but this bill would allow supermarkets to sell wine as well. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call here, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. We're talking this hour with the chief author of the bill in the House, Representative Barb Sikora. Also joining us is Connie Bernardi, who is a DFL state representative. She is opposed to this legislation. First caller is from Roseville. Matt, go ahead, please.
Hi, Gary. I'm a big fan of the show. For me, it's a convenience issue as far as being able to buy wine at the supermarket. I just moved here from Florida a little while ago where nearly every grocery store, well, every grocery store and convenience store can sell beer and wine, and most of the larger grocery stores and drug stores also sell liquor. So it's a convenience issue, and I'm not sure that I agree that, you know, it's going to be easier for kids to get alcohol or to get wine and out of supermarkets. I think there are a number of controls, and I think it's just that argument doesn't lend much credence to me.
Okay. Why not, Representative Sikora, since this is being billed as a matter of convenience, why not allow the 7-Elevens of the world to sell wine as well? Why just restrict it to the big supermarkets?
Well, at this point in time, it's the larger supermarkets that are most interested in the plan. And I don't know if the smaller grocers don't have an interest or if they just have a tough time putting into place some of the compliance checks that would be required. And perhaps they are just mom and pop checking people out also instead of having the scanners and stuff that are used in the larger stores, which make it much easier for them to monitor the sales.
Mm-hmm. Gary, did I
mention something on this point? Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
Right now there is state law that allows grocery stores to sell alcohol under certain conditions, and this is where the control factor comes in. Byerly's, for example, if anyone's ever shopped there, there's a separate room area that you have to go into to buy alcohol. So this law isn't needed for grocers to be able to sell alcohol in under certain kind of conditions and certain controls. So there is something available to do them. And the bottom line, this increases the number of licenses for selling alcohol. And the research clearly shows that when the number of licenses increases, the increase in underage drinking. So we do have data that shows that this will cause a problem. And when underage drinking goes up, the problems related to underage drinking also goes up. And these things are preventable if we can keep alcohol out of our hands of kids. And right now, grocers are talking about responsibility, and I'm sure they're wonderful people, but 38% of the time, studies, this is hundreds and hundreds of sales, they 38% of the time, they're selling beer to people underage. So the compliance and what they're going to say sounds wonderful, but in practice, the reality is alcohol is still going to get into the hands of kids, and we can't afford that in our state.
Just to clarify here, Representative Bernardi, you're saying that 38% of the time when a supermarket sells a can of 3-2 beer, it's being sold to a minor?
No, at 38, when a young person comes into the store, 38% of the time, they will sell to that young person.
Oh, okay. And do we have any statistics as to how often that actually happens?
I don't have that number.
Representative Sikora, do you have any information as to the magnitude, if there is a problem with 3-2 sales to minors, how big a problem that is?
Gary, I think what Representative Bernardi is referring to, that where they do compliance checks, there was testimony from Plymouth today that showed 1 year, 38% of the compliance checks of grocery stores for 3-2 beer were out of compliance. However, interestingly enough, one of the committee members had data from the Department of Public Safety, which was apparently heard in another committee yesterday, in another Commerce Committee meeting. And that indicated that of all the checks, the Department of Public Safety also does some compliance checks, just spot checks. Obviously, the State Department doesn't check everyone. But out of those spot checks, the grocers were not out of compliance once, but liquor stores were out of compliance several times. So I guess, I would guess it varies a great deal all over town, and everybody's trying to find ways to get greater and greater compliance. We're all working on that and trying to get better and better equipment to make that happen.
And Gary, one of the ideas that that the alcohol retailers are supportive of, and off-sale and on-sale, well, off-sale is to prevent anyone under 21 from coming into the their retail shop. And I don't think grocers would be able to do that because they sell this would be sold next to the cereal and the bread and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Eileen, your question, please.
Yeah, I'm a registered nurse and a parent, and I'm very, very much against wine being sold in grocery stores. There was never a great hue and cry for increased access to wine. I think this is just something that the grocers have drummed up. If they were so concerned about convenience, why don't they let food be sold in liquor stores then? I mean, you could flip this coin. And it's also wrong for Representative Sikora to say that people everywhere are supporting this. The Minnesota Chiefs of Police Association are against this idea. The League of Minnesota Cities are against this idea. I don't know another nurse who thinks this is a good idea. I've spent 16 years in emergency rooms cleaning up the mess from drunk kids, drunk adults, drunk drivers, violence as a result of drinking. We do not need more access to alcohol. We need more control of the access we already have.
Okay.
And that's not going to happen if we sell it in grocery stores.
Representative Sikora?
Yes, Gary. I understand what she is saying. But I believe we all recognize that there is a problem with underage drinking. However, most of what we've tried to accomplish hasn't made a great big dent in it because the biggest problem is you have people over 21 buying alcohol for young people. And that is one of the biggest problems that we have to deal with. And none of the things that we're doing with liquor stores or grocery stores can really address the fact that there are many irresponsible adults allowing young people to get their hands on liquor. And that is a serious problem, and it's somewhat of a societal problem, I think. Many people think, oh, well, kids will be kids, let them have their shot at drinking. I don't agree with that. Everything that we're trying to do here is trying to limit that access to young people. In fact, we're talking about making sure that they can only have the normal-sized bottle of wine, none of the little stuff like you can buy in liquor stores, essentially the shot-sized bottles. None of that, we're thinking of making none of that available in the grocery stores so that it would be very difficult to shoplift these kinds of articles. You know, sticking a couple of bottles of wine under your coat is a little tougher than stealing cosmetics.
Mm-hmm. Representative Bernardi, are you shooting at the wrong target here, given the concern over underage drinking? If these controls are put in place in grocery stores and so on to limit access, prevent minors from getting access to the wine, what's the problem?
Well, the issue, social providers, is a problem, and the more we can reduce that, the less problems we're going to have with underage drinking and limiting access. And that holds true for commercial sales. We also need to limit the number of locations if we want to reduce the number of kids drinking. So the last thing you want to do is expand it to this magnitude. Our young people are really, really important, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but people that become alcoholics sometime in their lifetime, 40% started by the time they were 15 years old. So of the 15-year-olds that start drinking, 40% will become chemically dependent sometime later in their life. If they postpone use till 17, 25% of them become addicted sometime in their life. And if they wait till legal drinking age, only 10% of those people will become chemically dependent. And whatever we can do to prevent this from getting into the hands of kids and expanding sales, because research shows when you expand sales, you increase underage drinking. And so there's things that we can do as a state to help prevent the really harmful negative consequences that our young people experience from drinking alcohol. And when young people drink, it's not like wine with dinner. When young people drink, if you want to become an alcoholic, start young, have access to it, drink often, and drink a lot. And that's what young people do, and that's why it's so harmful for alcohol to get in the hands of our young people.
Go ahead, Representative Sikora.
Well, I was going to say, I think that's a far cry from wine with dinner. Because she's talking here about children who start drinking and are drinking at parties from youth on up, and that is a serious problem. But what I found, I have four children of my own, so I have definitely a high value on children. I think our major investment in our entire lives has been for children and their education and so on. But I didn't find that children's interest in liquor extended much to wine. What the young people like is beer, and they like regular beer, and that is something that you generally find in liquor stores. And many of the parties, you know, the parties that I've heard about at the college, from the younger people that work in my office, for instance, it was not wine that interested them at the parties. It was generally some type of a concoction, which was either hard liquor or beer. So I don't think wine is as big a problem as most of the other areas in which children tend to imbibe.
And Gary, to comment on that, young people will drink what they can get their hands on. And I don't know if anybody out there remembers in their younger years drinking Boone's Farm wine or TJ Swan's or the lower cost wine. So wine is a choice for young people to drink and to get intoxicated on.
Let's get another listener involved here. Joe, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. I am a degree nutritionist for some background here. I think that some of the perspectives are completely wrong. I think that you can show, and it's been proven, that it's the forbidden fruit that is the one that is the most desired and the most sought after. And the Europeans are way ahead of us on this. They have wine available to the kids. It is not forbidden from them. And in turn, in America here, we try to treat it as taboo. The studies that have recently come out nutritionally in the last couple of years, they show very, very clearly that a glass of wine or so per day with meals is very, very healthful. And I think by saying that we're trying to protect the health of our kids and the health of our society through that, it's very admirable to state that, but you're going at it completely wrong. It's not the availability issue. It's completely the educational issue. And if we teach these kids that it is okay to have a glass of wine with dinner or a glass or two of wine at a social gathering, but it is not okay to be drinking until you're inebriated, that's the message we need to get out. It's not availability at all. If anything, availability with food to show them how to do it properly from a nutritional base is going to be a benefit to society, and I haven't heard anything on that discussion at all.
Representative Bernardi?
I think that's a good point. I think that people do need to model good, responsible use in front of their young people, and parents have the opportunity to do that now at dinner. They can buy their wine in a liquor store, and they can drink responsibly. So this bill doesn't help people teach their kids how to drink more responsible. What it does is it allows the expansion of alcohol, which research clearly shows means that young people get more access to alcohol and underage drinking goes up.
Representative Sikora?
Actually, I think what the caller was trying to say is that if we didn't make it sound like it was such a big deal, that maybe the young people wouldn't be so interested in going in and stealing it. And I just have a hunch that wine is not going to be the source of a lot of thievery. And I think the grocery stores are going to be much tougher than our existing liquor stores on keeping that away from kids. And I agree with Joe. In Europe, it's very common. Wine is just a very common thing, and it's very inexpensive, and everybody has it with their meal. And even young people have it there.
We're talking this hour about a proposal before the Minnesota legislature which would allow supermarkets in the Twin City metropolitan area to sell wine. Right now, only liquor stores are allowed to sell wine in the state of Minnesota. This bill would change that provision for the Twin City metro area. Joining us is Republican State Representative Barb Sikora from Excelsior, who is the chief author of the bill in the House. And also with us is DFL State Representative Connie Bernardi of Fridley, who is one of the legislators opposed to that legislation. The bill won approval today in the Minnesota House Commerce Liquor Subcommittee and now moves on for further hearings. If you'd like to join our conversation about this bill, give us a call, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. We'll get to more of your calls in just a couple of minutes.
What we found is that the polarization and the rhetoric around physician-assisted suicide had kept these groups from exploring the common ground on end-of-life care. And when we were able to get there, there was a great deal in common.
Opposing organizations come together on the need for compassionate care. I'm David Freudberg. Join us for Humankind.
That's Saturday night at 10 o'clock here on Minnesota Public Radio. And, of course, welcome to all the new members who recently joined Minnesota Public Radio during our membership drive. We certainly appreciate your support. Hope you have a good year listening. Right now, news headlines. Here's Stephen Jones. Stephen?
Thank you, Gary. After Russia's announcement that it will expel 50 American diplomats, the White House says President Bush considers the matter closed. Moscow's actions came in response to Washington's expulsion of 50 Russians in connection with the Robert Hansen spy scandal. Russia's president is diminishing the tit-for-tat moves some say are in danger of damaging relations between the two countries. Vladimir Putin says he does not believe that it will have big consequences. Russian space officials say the Mir space station sent up under the former Soviet regime has proven itself with pride to their successors. It crashed close to its target in the South Pacific earlier today in an area known as the graveyard for obsolete Russian space junk. Stock prices are higher on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 70 points. The NASDAQ Composite Index has gained 37. Gainers on the New York Stock Exchange hold a 2-to-1 lead over losers. In regional news, Senate Majority Leader Roger Moe says Governor Ventura's proposal to reclassify teachers as essential employees won't go anywhere. The plan would take away teachers' right to strike. Moe says the proposal would require radical changes in how the state's education system operates. The Minnesota Twins and Vikings are hitting the Capitol to advance separate drives for new venues. Twins leaders pitched to a Senate panel a bill for a $300 million ballpark financed partly by the state. The committee did not vote on the plan last night. The Vikings appear willing to accept a stadium study instead of going all out this session for public money for a new $500 million stadium. Vikings executives say the team and the NFL would contribute around $150 million toward a new stadium to be shared with the University of Minnesota. The study would find ways for the public to pick up the remaining $350 million. The forecast calling for partial clearing across the state where it has been cloudy, otherwise increasing clouds. For the folks in the south, that would include the Twin Cities this afternoon. The high should be around 35 degrees. 18 in Bemidji this hour, Duluth 24, 28 in Rochester, and in the Twin Cities 33 degrees. Gary, that's the latest from the newsroom.
Thanks, Stephen. 26 minutes before noon. This is Midday on Minnesota Public Radio, and this hour we're talking about legislation that's currently before the Minnesota legislature, which would allow supermarkets in the Twin City metro area to start selling wine. Currently, only liquor stores can sell wine. But a bill that would allow supermarkets to get in the business, Twin City area supermarkets, has won approval now from a Minnesota House Commerce Liquor Subcommittee and moves on through the process. Republican State Representative Barb Sikora is with us. She is the chief author of that bill. And one of the opponents to the bill, Representative Connie Bernardi of Fridley, is also with us. And don't call us right now with your questions because we have a full bank of callers, but try us in a couple of minutes. You'll be able to get through. We'd like to get your question on. 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. David, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I live up in the St. Cloud area, and I know that in our area there are some grocery stores that have liquor stores attached that are part of the store, but they're separately contained, so I don't really know. You know, it's already been addressed a little bit, but I don't really know why we'd need new legislation for that, taking up legislation time. As for convenience, want to be slowing down the checkout lines for checking ID and that sort of thing. And the other part for me is I work with some people who are recovering alcoholics, and right now they're able to avoid encountering alcohol, the temptation, by having it in a separate destination, wouldn't that add to that temptation for them?
Okay, thanks, David. Appreciate the call. Representative Sikora, Byerly's, and I understand Costco already have adjacent liquor stores kind of hooked right on to their grocery stores. Why not just, if people want to, the supermarkets want to get in the liquor business, just do it that way?
Well, that's certainly one way that some are already doing it and creating a lot of competition in that liquor business. However, for a grocery store that would just like to have one aisle of wines and maybe not the selection that a Byerly's might have, for instance, I think this makes sense. And, you know, if you talk about somebody who's a former alcoholic who doesn't want to have to walk by wine, you know, I can understand that. But on the other hand, look at people with heart disease who have to walk by foods that are full of cholesterol. Look at diabetics who get to walk by sugar products, cake and brownies and all that wonderful stuff whenever they're in the grocery store. I mean, everybody kind of has the things that are not good for them, and they just have to learn to live with that and avoid it, I think, because you can't possibly be sheltered from every possible thing that might be a temptation to you in life. We just kind of have to learn to live with that, as does everybody else.
And in terms of convenience, the caller says, well, it's going to slow down the checkout lines, making it quite inconvenient for everybody else as people are getting carded.
Well, what will happen at the checkout line when a bottle of wine comes through is it'll pop up on the screen that the clerk has to get the age of the person buying, and then the clerk will have to ask for the ID. But I don't think that's going to be a huge problem.
Mm-hmm. Representative Bernardi, care to comment?
Sure, I'd like to comment on that. There's a good point that this grocery stores are already able to do this. And the way the law has it currently is that it keeps the local control within the community. And that served Minnesota very, very well. And this change in law creates a huge expansion in alcohol sales that gives up local control, because it mandates that local officials have to allow these large grocery stores to sell wine. And so that's been a tradition in Minnesota, and it has served Minnesota well. And this is a major shift in alcohol policy. And Dr. Scribner from Louisiana Tech University, I believe, he was up in Minnesota, and he said the last thing that you want to do is to expand alcohol sales in Minnesota. It's bad public health policy, and it will impact the health and safety of communities and young people.
Our caller,
Gary,
go ahead.
Can I just respond very quickly to that?
You bet.
You know, when you're talking about why should we do anything because they can already put a liquor store adjacent to them, well, it sounds to me like that is an expansion of places to get liquor, and that isn't just wine. That is every kind of liquor, and that includes all those cute little attractive bottles that I think in liquor stores are very tempting for young people to pick up. And so I think having, you know, just wine sales in the grocery store makes a lot more sense than having, you know, having it wide open next door to every kind of liquor and just expanding it in that fashion.
Well, Gary, they already have a choice of doing that. And I have a choice as a parent to bring my child in that part of, into that room. And if someone who suffers from alcoholism and is recovering from alcoholism, they don't have to go into that room either. And that is controlled at the local level. And this new change in law takes local control away and makes it mandatory that communities have to do this.
I'm wondering, I was reminded our caller was from the St. Cloud area, why is this bill just restricted to supermarkets in the Twin City metro area? Why not go statewide with this legislation? I would imagine there are people in Rochester, Duluth, wherever, who would like to have a glass of wine as well and pick up a bottle at the supermarket.
Well, that's a very good question, Gary. And what often happens in these kinds of changes in alcohol policy is you start small, and it's called the slippery slope. You move into the next area of expanding it to greater Minnesota. And then the next thing you do, and we have heard this from distilled industries and from other people, that, you know, the goal, hopefully, would be eventually to have all types of liquor sold in grocery stores. And the other reason I think that's not being advocated in Greater Minnesota is this is also a business issue for small business owners. This is people's livelihoods and communities throughout Minnesota, and they probably would not garner as much support because people in smaller towns, they know personally their local bar owner or their local retailer. And in the metropolitan area, it's not as many people personally know these businesses, and so there wouldn't be as much opposition in the metropolitan area.
Representative Socorro, why not make your bill statewide?
You know, I think the grocers, who with whom, of course, I've consulted very closely on this bill, grocers felt it would be better to start in the metro area. As far as I'm concerned, if the rest of the state wants to have the possibility of wine and grocery stores, that would be all right with me. I don't have a big problem with that.
Do you think this is going to take a heavy toll on the mom-and-pop liquor stores in the Twin City metro area?
See, I don't believe it will, and let me just give you kind of my philosophy on this. First of all, it only deals with wine. And secondly, I have gone into many liquor stores looking for wine for a particular meal or a particular event. And sometimes you get wonderful service, and sometimes I can wander up and down those wine aisles without being able to figure out what I really need and nobody to ask. And I really believe that the stores that are giving good service and know something about their wines can just really sell those wines and aren't going to lose a lot of business. But the people, the places where they don't, you know, maybe there will be some loss of revenue in those areas. But on the other hand, you talk about them being small businesses, so are grocers. And grocers have thousands of employees in the grocery business in the Twin Cities that they provide good livable wages to. And many of those people were at the hearing this morning and want very much to get this possibility. And their careers are in grocery stores, and grocery stores pay them well.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Representative Bernardi. Quick comment.
Quick comment on that. One thing about the expansion, I think it's not good public health policy to use alcohol as a profit engine in this state. And the other area in that, in 1985, the Grocery Association lobbied very hard to restrict the sale of food items in off-sale liquor stores. They were against off-sale establishments selling their products, and now it's turned around. They want to, and that went into statute, actually, I believe, and now they would like to sell the product within their walls. And one of my constituents wrote to me and said the availability will lose customer base to large retail grocery stores. The availability of liquor is sufficient without this expansion, and expansion carries the risk of destroying small businesses and the health and safety of our community and young people.
Chris, your question, please.
Yes, I'm 22, and I'm also a youth coordinator currently, and that makes me close to the issue in both ways. And I just want to comment on the adult provider issue and the 21-year-old friend providing. Not all kids know someone who's 21 or older. Yeah, that's definitely a huge issue. But many other ways that they get it is by going to parking lots of liquor stores and asking, you know, an adult to buy for them. And I see this as police are able to monitor that pretty much. But to have the access in grocery stores, there's no way that police are going to be able to monitor that in the same fashion and look for the group of kids hanging out in a parking lot. It's just not going to be the same.
Right.
Also, kids are going to have friends who work at grocery stores more often than they will at liquor stores, making it easier for them to get from their friends.
Representative Socorro?
Yes, I hear what she's saying, but on the other hand, within the grocery stores, there is a lot of surveillance, and they have many people who will be trained to be looking for folks, just like the kids she's talking about, who might be trying to shoplift wine. Wine is not an easy thing to shoplift, and I think they will have their trained employees. Believe me, they're going to be focused on that wine aisle and who is in there and keeping an eye on them.
Well, that's a good point that the caller talks about, and the surveillance on the outside of the building. A lot of it's called the Hey Mister, happens in parking lots. And right now, law enforcement is up in arms that they don't even have the time they need to and the resources to sufficiently do compliance check on liquor stores. And we're just trying to get a handle that around in the state and working together with the liquor establishments and law enforcement, and to expand this as much as this bill would make that happen. It's just it's a burden on resources that don't even exist that law enforcement could even enforce the underage drinking laws. And also, it's kind of like asking the fox to watch the chicken, where the chicken live in the hen house. So I'm really concerned about that, because we just don't have the resources in the state to have law enforcement do compliance checks and monitor parking lots with this expansion.
Actually, Gary, in my bill, the city would be able to charge to the grocer who got the license whatever they felt the cost would be to do the compliance checks, to do whatever monitoring they felt necessary. The city would also be able to be involved in what the theft prevention plan might be and have something to say about what would be an acceptable theft prevention plan. So I believe the costs will be covered, because they will be able to charge them right back to that grocer in the license fee.
And Gary, that's already the current law for retailers of alcohol, that they can be charged back what it costs for enforcement through their fees. And it's still very difficult for law enforcement to dedicate these kind of resources to this problem.
One thing I don't quite understand, why would it be so difficult for grocery stores to control the sale of wine to underage people? It's next to impossible, it seems, to buy a pack of cigarettes in a grocery store without going through several hoops. Wouldn't it be just as difficult, if not more so, to buy a bottle of wine?
Yes. Yes, yes. It will be just as difficult and more so, because they are going to be monitoring them very closely. Their scanners are going to be set up to catch every wine sale, and they're going to be subject to the compliance checks that they are now for tobacco. They will be subject to alcohol checks. Now, liquor stores currently do not have any mandatory compliance checks. And the person who testified today from the Licensed Beverage Association was quite uninterested in mandated compliance checks for liquor stores and did not appear very willing to accept that. So there is right now, in my bill, a tougher standard for the grocers and the grocery stores.
Representative Bernardi?
Yeah, thank you. Right now, beer is being sold to kids in grocery stores, and so is tobacco. To think that we can stop every one of these sales is through this proposal, I think is misleading. And so I just am really, the expansion and the research clearly shows that when there's an expansion in alcohol stores, that underage drinking goes up and underage access to alcohol goes up, which means the problems related with this, from car crashes to assaults to binge drinking on college campuses, goes up.
Lynn, your question, please.
I just am weary of adults using children as a shield to deal with the adult issues. I see the problem. I've got 5 kids. They go from 30 down to 11. And I see the problem as parents not willing to talk about alcohol with their children. I think it's immaterial where you go to buy it. And quite personally, I'm sick and tired of making special trips to the liquor store to get a wine I need for cooking, to get a wine I need for drinking, or to get anything else I need. You know, I thought the idea was to centralize things to make it easier. If it wasn't, why do we even have malls? And I'm really weary of using children. We have to protect our children. No, you have to prepare your children. Children make choices every single day. Okay. By and large, they do a nice job.
Representative Bernardi?
Yeah, I agree, in a very comprehensive approach. But parents teaching their young people not to drink, policies in the community that prevent young people from getting access. I know I'm doing everything that I can to help my child understand the issues with drinking, and hopefully they don't make those choices to drink underage. But, you know, once they leave once they leave the my doors and my home, I want to make sure that people, that they have limited access in the community and that people aren't selling to them. And this is a policy that will create more opportunities for my children to get access to alcohol.
Representative Sikora, you mentioned a little earlier that down the road, assuming your bill would pass, down the road you'd certainly be open if there was a demand for it to take your legislation statewide. What about an expansion to other products beyond wine, to strong beer and hard liquor? Would you support that down the road as well?
Absolutely not, and I would never be the author of that bill. Fine. I am interested in wine because I think it fits with grocery stores. I do not believe we want to be selling regular beer, all the other kinds of alcoholic beverages in grocery stores. I think wine is logically going with dinner, and that is what my bill is about, and that is all it is about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's an interesting point because, you know, one of my favorite beverages is margaritas, and it would be much more convenient for me to pick up my tequila and my margarita mix at the grocery store when I have my chips and cheese and my tacos. So there is a problem treating this differently. I mean, a glass of wine is equivalent to a glass of beer, is equivalent to a shot of liquor. I'm just really, really concerned about how this will create a slippery slope and other things throughout Minnesota will be sold and other types of products in liquor stores. And one of my other constituents, she writes about, as a mom, bringing her child into a grocery store, not only seeing the product displayed, but also the advertisement on the windows before you come in and the flyers. She just doesn't want her child to be exposed to that kind of advertising within the grocery store.
Representative Sikora?
I would expect that in a grocery store, remember, their main focus is still going to be food, and I still think food will be the main focus in the grocery stores. Wine will probably be an aisle. You don't need to take your child down the wine aisle.
Mm-hmm. Let's get a quick last comment here from a listener. Parker, very quickly, please.
Hi, yes. I just thought it was really interesting that yesterday there was a news article that ran a couple times on the health education programs that are going in Denmark. One of the topics that came up in there was the kids being interested in drinking, and, you know, that the teacher did not approach this as a taboo like it seems our society does. To say, and forgive me, Representative Bernardi, that when you said that the wine would be right next to the cereal, I think that's an exaggeration and a misrepresentation that, you know, is going to take us into this more of a fear of the sort of cultural experience that wine is. I mean, the wine industry is just growing. I'm a big fan of wine, but not too much of a drinker.
All right. Well, let's get a quick comment before we wrap up. Representative Bernardi?
Well, I've been working in this field for 10 years with community groups and parent groups across the metropolitan area and the state of Minnesota. And the bottom line is that the increase in alcohol sales increases underage drinking and increases the number of negative consequences, from car crashes to assaults to all different kinds of problems for young people. And one research clearly shows focusing on one of the elements in a comprehensive approach is alcohol policy. And expanding alcohol sales like this in Minnesota is a huge step back for Minnesota and Minnesota's children and families.
Representative Sikora, you get the last word, a quick comment.
Gary, I would just say that all of the things that Representative Bernardi has been working on for 10 years are problems that exist now. We don't sell wine in grocery stores yet. So I think she's anticipating something that she's already dealing with, and I don't believe it's going to be any worse because we have wine in grocery stores. And okay. I think for most people, this will be a plus.
Thanks very much for joining us, both of you. Our guest this hour, State Representative Barb Sikora, who is the author of a bill that would allow supermarkets to sell wine in the Twin City metropolitan area. Also with us, State Representative Connie Bernardi, who doesn't like that idea.
I'm Juan Williams. 3 months into George Bush's presidency, many top science jobs remain vacant in the federal government, and some science agencies face major funding cuts. Join Ira Flatow on the next Science Friday for a look at technology and science decisions facing the Bush administration. That's on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Science Friday begins at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Over the noon hour, just a couple of minutes, we're going to hear from Aaron Brockovich. Aaron Brockovich coming up.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 23rd of March, 2001. It's the birthday in White Plains, New York, 1935, of poet and novelist David R. Slobbit, author of or editor of more than 60 books, starting with The Exhibitionist in 1967, which he wrote under the name Henry Sutton. It's the birthday of Roger Bannister, the first person to run a mile in less than 4 minutes, born in Harrow-on-the-Hill, England, in 1929. It was on the 6th of May, 1954, despite poor track conditions and a cold crosswind, he ran the mile in 3:59.4, collapsing at the tape. It's the birthday of children's author Eleanor Cameron, born in Winnipeg, Manitoba, 1912. She was a librarian. She wrote one novel. It got good reviews. It did not sell well. And then when she was 42, one of her sons asked her to write a story about himself and his best friend and how they would build a spaceship and go off and find a planet. She wrote The Wonderful Flight to the Mushroom Planet, which was a big success, and won the National Book Award in 1974 with The Court of the Stone Children. It's the birthday of Fanny Farmer, born in Boston, 1857. She was the headmistress of the Boston Cooking School when, in 1896, she published the Boston Cooking School Cookbook, which revolutionized the field of cookbooks by giving standard measurements right down to an eighth of a teaspoon instead of simply saying a pinch of this or a dash of that. The publisher was skeptical that it would sell very well. He assumed that everybody knew how to cook already and made her pay all the costs of printing. But the book went on to sell 4 million copies and made her a household name in America. And it was on this day in 1743, Handel's Messiah was given its first performance at the Covent Garden Theatre in London. King George II was in attendance, and when the Hallelujah Chorus began, he was so moved he got to his feet, and everyone else in the theatre did as well, a tradition that is still observed. Here's a poem for today by the Scottish poet James Hogg. The moon was a-waning. The moon was a-waning, the tempest was over, fair was the maiden, and fond was the lover. But the snow was so deep that his heart it grew weary, and he sunk down to sleep in the moorland so dreary. Soft was the bed she had made for her lover, white were the sheets and embroidered the cover, but his sheets are more white and his canopy grander, and sounder he sleeps where the hill foxes wander. Alas, pretty maiden, what sorrows attend you? I see you sit shivering with lights at your window, but long may you wait ere your arm shall enclose him, for still, still he lies with a wreath on his bosom. How painful the task, the sad tidings to tell you. An orphan you were ere this misery befell you, and far in yon wild where the dead tapers hover, so cold, cold and wan lies the corpse of your lover. A poem by the Scottish poet James Hogg, The Moon Was A-Waning. That's the Writer's Almanac, brought to you by the people at 21NorthMain.com, where book lovers find 13 million gently read classics, bestsellers, and rare masterpieces on the web at 21NorthMain.com.